John chapter 15 is where we're going to be. Talk about abiding in Jesus Christ. John chapter 15, and something that God's been doing in my heart. I've had a blast. Your pastor and I, honestly, every time we're together, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. He's been a buddy of mine for years since college and all the way since Dennis Clemens. I hope Dennis Clemens makes his way over here sometime if he hadn't already. I'd love for him to come all the way out west, but I doubt he's going to do that. Maybe he could if I bought his ticket. I won't get John Stevens over. I won't do that. I knew John Stevens well. I just don't want him to pick on me in front of my people, and because he will. He has those three jokes. You guys know John Stevens here, don't you? He has about three jokes, only three. And he's had them things for about 80 years now. Three jokes. And I love John Stevens. He's prayed me into the ministry. And I love him to death. So anyway, I just mentioned some friends that we've had from the past. I want to try to help you when it comes to John chapter 15. John 15, even starting in verse following, it talks about, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. That's John 15:5. That is the key verse of John chapter 15. If you're going to study it out, that's what you want to look at. You want to take that key verse. It is the meat of it. He's talking to believers. He's not talking to unbelievers. If he's talking to unbelievers, you would have to come from a Calvinistic side of this. You really would be. I'm not. Maybe you are. I'm not debating the fact. I do want to say this, though. You would have to say that he's talking about unbelievers frequently through this when he talks about the word abide. He's not doing that. Anytime God uses the word abide, by the way, he did write the Bible. You say man wrote the Bible. No, friends. It says God inspired. God inspired. It's by inspiration, which means this. God breathed it. Man wrote it down. So when God wrote the Bible, I say that basic fact. When he wrote it, he wrote abide to the saved person. So anytime that we see the word abide or remain, we see it to the saved person. So he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. In verse 1, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Go to, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Now here's our text for tonight. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. The branch has a unique relationship with the vine. The vine is Jesus Christ in this passage. The vine being Jesus Christ, the husbandman of which you saw is God. God does the pruning and other things. By the way, he doesn't just prune bad things away. When you are ever planting something, you got to nip it in the bud, as Barney Fife said. Sometimes you got to take the good growth away, don't you? As a matter of fact, when you take a plant such as this or a fruit plant, you need to sometimes take those good things away so that other sprouts can come out and shoot out. Sometimes they will take back of the good because it's taking too much of the time and too much of the precious sap. They will take back feet when it comes to some of these plants and cut off whole branches of good growth. So sometimes in our life, that good growth comes in and takes the place. Good things that need to be taken away, friends, in order to make forth the fruit. So watch this now. Definitely not our message tonight. There's a necessity of the branch that we see here. Do you know this when it comes to Jesus Christ, the husbandman being God, the vine, the one that has the sap, the life-giving sap is Jesus Christ, and we are just an extension of him? We are little Christ, I understand, but we're to look like the vine. We really are. I'm not getting into standards because I believe that we've taken standards so far that we've frustrated entire generations. That's just my own personal preference, and Pastor can correct me later. But I will tell you this. My Christian life doesn't consist of standards. It consists of a love relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where I live. That's where I dwell. Standards may come as a result of that, but mine are probably different than yours, and yours are different than mine, which makes nobody less spiritual in God's eyes. In light of that, we see this. A vine needs branches. Without branches, it can do nothing. It can bear no fruit. If the vine didn't have branches, he wouldn't bear fruit. That's a great truth, because God has chosen to use us. God could have wrote the gospel in the air, and above and beyond the gospel, the fruit that I see in here isn't really so much souls. I know that I've heard people say it in the past, that the fruit in which we're talking about, and after all, bless God, you ought to be bearing fruit. You ought to be. As a matter of fact, you ought to be sowing, you ought to be watering, you ought to be reaping. But that's not what this passage is talking about. We can prove that from other passages. I don't need this passage to prove that. This is talking about another fruit. It's talking about the fruit that's in the Christian and from the Christian. Let me put it this way when it talks about the branch. Christ needs a human vessel or vessels here on earth to show forth its fruit. You're needed. You're not worthless, friend. You say, I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect, my friend, but Jesus Christ. We're all growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But Christ needs a human vessel. Andrew Murray said this, the branch is exactly like the vine in every aspect. It says it's the same nature, the same life, the same place, the same work. In all this, they are inseparably one. We are Jesus Christ, in a sense. We are Christ, and Christ is us, because we're in Him, and Him is in us. We abide in Him, He abides in us. We as believers ought to be in consistent dependence upon the vine, Jesus Christ, for the ability and the power to bring forth fruit. If you can't muster up fruit is what I'm saying. Do you know as a branch, you don't need to work it up, work it in, and work it out. You just simply need to be a branch. That's pretty easy, isn't it? It's not about, I just need to just get in that Bible. If I just did a little bit more. No, listen, as long as you're growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the vine promised to push fruit through you. That's what it does. You don't do the work, you do the abiding. He doesn't say, work in me. He says, abide in me. Abide in me. So many times we get discouraged because, well, after all, Pastor went out soul winning all last week. Every day, Pastor was out. Well, his job can lean onto that. Really, it can't, but it can lean onto that at times. And sometimes we compare ourselves among ourselves. You know, branches don't do that. Branches never say, well, that one has much more fruit than I have. What's wrong with me? Not one time do you hear a branch say that. They're quiet, as a matter of fact. They just bear the fruit. But what fruit do they bear? That's really the question. What fruit do they bear? John 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch can not bear fruit of itself. It's not a self-manipulation. It's not about your programs. It's not about anything else. Although these things are important, but they're not the producers of fruit. Which would take us back to prayer if we had a little bit more time tonight. I do believe this. If you're not praying, you're not living the Christian life. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. The only thing that sustains me in the pastorate is prayer. That's the only thing that sustains me. It's not because it's more strenuous. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes taking a 15-hour trip is more strenuous than any counseling situation I've been involved in. Just stresses me out. What's going to break next on the trailer? I like where I am. God's prepared me for it. It's not that I didn't enjoy it. You know what I miss the most about being there is people. People like you. I come here, I talk all night. Appreciate you guys. Even Jeremiah. It's amazing, true. It's a battle. It's a struggle, but I love them. I'm going to tell you this, friends. People is what I miss on the road. It's not all the stress. It's the people. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, and no more can ye except ye abide in me. Here's the fruit of the branch. Contrary to popular belief, I said it already, the only fruit that you see in this passage is not soul winning. The fruit that is spoken of in Galatians 5:22 is the fruit of the Spirit. It is not the fruits of the Spirit. As a matter of fact, when you're walking in Jesus Christ, we're to exhort, we're to show all of this fruit. We're to show the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, against which there is no law. We are supposed to be abiding in Him, and when we do, it says we will bring forth that fruit. I run into so many people that are mean as a snake. Not down south. We got Southern hospitality, which I call Southern lion. Amen. We went to Cracker Barrel the other day. Speaking of that, I almost got bitter. They didn't have sweet tea. I thought they were going to shut it down. About called the mayor of Atlanta. They ran out of gravy. Sinners. We about walked out at the beginning. We got our food out so quick. So, contrary to popular belief, I need you to see this. Galatians 5:22 says this, but the fruit, not fruits, the fruit. This is what the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Do you want to know if you're walking in the Spirit, you're producing that fruit? If you're frustrated, you're not. Wow. If you get angry, listen, husbands, if we get angry with our wives immediately, wives, we get angry with our husbands immediately, you just stepped out of walking in the Spirit. You're not abiding in Jesus Christ. I hope I'm not the only one that knows that in my life, but I do. You ever yelled at your kids, preacher? Only one time, ever. I got perfect kids. No, I've yelled at my kids frequently. God forbid. Notice the fruit is singular, the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits of the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is present in your life, this is the fruit that is expected to be manifested. What is it? Here it is. We'll go through it and be finished. First is love. That is an agape love. That's a passion, at least a phileo love toward somebody else, a brotherly love, a kindness, a love, a compassion toward who? Toward everybody, friends. Red or yellow, black or white, they're all precious in my sight, God said. And I need you to see this. It's just not about them fitting our mold. 1 John 4:7 says this, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God. Why? For God is love. You know what he's saying? It doesn't mean that we're not saved. That's another wrong interpretation. 1 John's talking to the believer. He's not talking to lost people. So when we say that, we have to look at it and say, you know what? If I'm not loving somebody else, I don't know God like I say I know God. As a matter of fact, it says we call him a liar. And we are not of the truth. It means we're lying to ourselves. When it comes down to loving another person, we ought to be able to love. Friends, honestly, to say that we're walking in the Spirit and you're filled with the Spirit, you're exercising the fruit of the Spirit and not love the unlovely, then and not love your neighbor as yourself. Friends, the Bible says that we know not God. We do not love. Amen. I'm not even bitter. The phone call's coming in. You take it. You talk to them. You love them. You put them on and we're going to scream out, I love you. Listen, as silly as we get sometimes, it's hard. Why? Because we got feelings, we got emotions, we got issues, we got needs in our life. And I'm going to tell you this, friends, people aren't going to go away. Emotions aren't leaving. And God says this, I want you to love people regardless of those things. All I want you to do is be and abide in me, and that love will come out of you. You don't have to work it up, work it in and work it out. You can't do it. You can't do it. I am so fed up with works mentality and all this bootstrap Christianity. It sickens me to the core because it sickens my Savior. He didn't die that we might work harder. He died that we might abide in Him. That's why He died. If you're having a struggle living the Christian life, then start letting Him do it. You say, that seems a little bit passive. I can guarantee you this. My God is not a passive God, my friends. You start abiding in Him and you may be more active than you'll ever be in your entire life. Love. The second one is joy. Joy, cheerfulness, calm delight, gladness. Psalm 118, 24. This day, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. There's nothing wrong with being happy. Joy, happiness. As a matter of fact, it says that the joy of the Lord is what? It's our strength. Joyful people are powerful people in the Lord. They really are. You can't deny a smile sometimes. And those that do, bless God, are not walking in the Spirit. This is the way it is. I'm not trying to negate any other realities that we have in our life. We got a reality of emotions. We got life bearing down. We got rain that, man, I got to go back up the snow. I left with 3.5 inches of snow. I think it looks way prettier than rain, to be honest with you. But you can get discouraged in this nonsense. You can get discouraged in it. 3 more inches in Commerce County is going to be flooding. You know that, don't you? I'm just being honest. That was a warning on my phone. We can get discouraged at that, can't we? But all I'm saying is it's not when we're abiding in Christ. These things happen. They happen. What about peace, love, joy, peace, at rest, not anxious or wanting? We could use the word satisfied. Let me ask you a question. Is God's way perfect? Is God's way perfect for your life? So I guess when we look at God and say, I'm just not happy with my life, then we're just saying, I'm just not happy with you, Lord. Right? Friends, it doesn't matter if we feel like our whole life is in shambles. The fact of the matter is God's still in control. And all He asks us to do is abide in Him. And he'll bring that love, joy, that peace, he says, Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Puts it all back on God again. How about this? Long suffering. Oh, my soul. Any mamas in here with kids? Any homeschool mamas in here with kids? I think that's part of purgatory, to be honest with you. If I could prove purgatory from the scriptures, I'd go straight to you homeschoolers, amen. My wife, the happiest thing she had, and I think the happiest moment she had and saddest all at the same time, but she got rid of that sadness real quick. We run a public, I run a Christian school out there, and I'm a principal of a Christian school, isn't that something? And I'm really enjoying it. It makes me laugh. I love it. I absolutely do. But my wife was just happy when she sent those kids to the Christian school. And she was through the roof, to be honest with you. And she's real excited. She had a little bit more time on her hands now. But long-suffering. Long-suffering is really just an old English word to say patience. Patience is all that it is. Just being patient with people. People frustrate me, friends. Don't they frustrate you? Man, somebody, if they don't get my order right at McDonald's, I get frustrated with them. I'm like, it's going to do bad things to you anyway. What in the world's the point if they mess it up? You know, I mean, you get frustrated with people in traffic. We're coming through Atlanta. I about flipped out. I was like, man, we got to go around. Where are you going to go? Everything's all backed up. You're not going to go around nothing. I'm in Cody, Wyoming when we got 10,000 people. That's it. That's on a good day, and half of them don't come outside anyway. I'm just telling you, folks, you're just inside. I love it. I love it. Our biggest problem are deer running across the road. There's no frustration there. And we got these tourists that come in. Holy man. I'm just telling you. But you know what God says? No, we got patience with these people. No, we have patience. Why? Because He has patience. We're just a branch. We're just living His life. That's all we're doing. You need to drop kick the emotions in this stuff. We need to push them aside as hard as it is. We need to see Christ, you're going to be in control, not me in control. I often joke that I have the gift of impatience, and I really do. And of course, I believe that every guy at one time in their life, if not many times in their life, is gifted with that same gift. My wife takes a long time to get ready. I can only say that because she's not here. She got on me last night on the phone, didn't she, preacher? Man, she's tough. She yelled at me for not eating before 10. I told him it was preacher's fault. Isaiah 40:31 says this, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Galatians 6:9 says this, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Be patient, friend. Don't force the fruit in your life. Be patient. Be patient. We are in a, listen, I know we've said it many times. We're in a marathon, friends. We are not in a short race. This ain't a short foot race. It's not the 40, friends. You don't got to get it done in 4 minutes flat. We're in it for the long haul here. We got to make it happen. And I hope we have that mentality. Are you short tempered, my friend? Can I be honest? It means we're not walking in the Spirit. There's no other way to cut it. It's not optional. Can I blatantly say, according to this passage, it's not of the Lord. Short-temperedness is not of the Lord. You ever been short-tempered, preacher? One or two times. Some of the kids made me short-tempered today for a moment. Then I realized, oh, I don't have to come here tomorrow. Going to another school tomorrow. By the way, can I say this? They want your pastor to come in next semester and speak to the other half of the eighth graders. They don't want me to come in. They want your pastor to come in. That's a great outreach. Great way to get into the community. If you could see the importance of people seeing you in the community and loving people in the community. Have you ever gotten ahead of the Lord? One or two times, huh? I've been ahead of the Lord. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Don't get ahead of the Lord. Gentleness, we know what that is, and goodness kind of almost go together. It has the idea of kindness, being kind. Christians ought to be kind. That's what it's saying. That's the fruit of the Spirit. If you're into a grumpy Christian, please don't call them out because they're going to yell at you. You're going to be the next target. But you can pray for them. The Spirit of God is much stronger than we could ever be. How about this? Faith. Here it is. Here's the nebulous of faith. What's that look like? Faith, it's that substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does that look like? Looks like abiding is what it looks like. It looks like letting God work through us and us not forcing the issue. It looks like us having the joy of the Spirit and trusting God that He's going to give it to us. That's what it looks like. But we're Americans because we don't need faith. We got credit cards, amen? We don't need faith. What do you mean, give us this day our daily bread? I'm going to the store to buy whatever I want to and put it on my card and I'll pay it next month. Lord, thank you so much. I'm telling you guys, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God, he must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek them. I'm telling you, there's sometimes we just need to get apart with God and say, God, I know that I can go buy this right now, but God, I want you to provide for it. I want you to do it. I want you to show me. By the way, a side note real quick, and we're almost done. Here's a real quick side note. Why not just have some personal prayers in your life that nobody, not even your spouse, knows about that you're praying to God for? I hope it's not, just cast them down, Lord. That's not what I'm talking about. But I do mean this. Something that nobody else is going to get an answer to prayer for but you and God. That's faith. My wife can get a hold of the Lord. When I pray with her, I know that God's answering her prayer, not mine. I'm almost positive. There's something about ladies, isn't there, fellas? But I'll tell you this, man. When I get alone with the Lord and I say, God, you got to do this, and He does it, that's faith. And you know what it feels like. You say, I ain't about feeling. Well, then please, don't walk with Jesus Christ anymore if you ain't about feeling. It's okay to feel things. Man, meekness, humility is what that means. A calm temper. Calm temper of mind, not easily provoked. I'm male, man. These things just kind of make me chuckle sometimes. I get provoked sometimes. We could say controlled strength. Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. In Titus, the list of qualifications for the pastor, it states to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. It's a great rebuke to me as well. Who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Last part here, and we're done, is temperance, self-control. Spirit-enabled self-control. It's just not good character. Thank you so much to some of the generations before and a little bit of generations after that have pushed a ton of character. Character's awesome, but if it's not enabled by God, it stinks and it's rotten and filthy. It needs to be temperance, friend. It has to be tempered. It has to be temperance. It has to come from the hand of God. I'm not negating character in that sense. I'm just telling you it's not the end of the day. So, friend, looking at the fruit of the Spirit and being face to face with the reality of what we are or what we are not brings us to a conclusion. It's this. Total surrender. There's no way around it. It's God saying, I don't want moments of your life. I want all your life. I don't want moments of your finances. I want all your finances. He says, I don't want moments of your feelings. I want all your feelings. It's interesting, isn't it? He just says to abide. Friends, do you realize how easy that is? Just to say, apart from feelings, apart from anything else, just to say, God, use me today. And not have to worry about it all day and try to manufacture it. Pastor Brenton and I, we've sat down and we prayed frequently since I've been here. The best part about coming here, first of all, is prayer with your pastor. I'm telling you, we spend seasons in prayer. Sometimes I'm tired, preacher. I'll admit it. But we still find the strength to pray and we still get answers to prayer. Friends, all I'm telling you is this, when it comes down to it, Total dependence, total surrender, total consecration to the Lord. The branch has but one object for which it exists, one purpose to which it is entirely given up. That is to bear the fruit the vine wishes to bring forth. And so the believer has but one reason for his being a branch, but one reason for his existence on earth, that the heavenly vine may through him bring forth his fruit. It's not about a 401k and a retirement plan. It can all burn up and I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm not purposing to make my first million, although if you feel led to give me a million, I will pocket it. It's not about it. It's not about it. It's about dependence, unceasing dependence upon Christ. You have but one thing to do, only be a branch, nothing more, nothing less. Has the idea of the vacuum cleaner. The power comes from the wall, friends. It doesn't come from the cleaner. We just need to plug in. Let God have control. Let God do the work. And when we realize that the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, whatever, meekness, something that I preach tonight isn't there. I'm just messing with you. You know what we need to do? Realize that we're not abiding. And run back to the one that we're abiding in. Get right if you need to. But run one back to the one. This is what I'm going to end with, and we'll be done. This verse is really talking about finances. It's not talking about having strength apart from that. But we'll use a secondary application for it, and I don't want to freak anybody out or upset anybody, but it's Philippians 4:13. It's talking about finances, okay? But it's okay. We'll take a secondary application because many of us have already, when we are younger, signed the yearbook, Philippians 4:13, amen, we got strength. That's fine. Okay, but watch this now. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Walk in the Spirit? Yeah, because it's not your strength. It's the sap from the vine. It's all about the vine, friends. It's all about the vine. Joy of the Lord? I got that down. I do sometimes. Frustration? Lord, help me. Patience? I need you, God. I need you. Why not just do this tonight? Even in a time of prayer, why not realize our weakness and realize God's strength? We're weak. We're always going to be weak. God's strong. He's always going to be strong. And all he says is abide in me and I in you. The same will bring forth much fruit. For without me, he says, you can do nothing. Not even take that next breath. Simple. Just be a branch tonight. Could we? Let's pray. Father, we do love you and praise you. We thank you so much. Encouragement, your word's always an encouragement. We thank you, Father, for what you're doing. We thank you even tonight that you've given us the ability to step back and say, Jesus, I'm going to abide in you and let you do the work. There's folks here tonight that are frustrated. They've been frustrated with this Christian life. Maybe they even come out of duty tonight. Lord, I'm just asking this. Just as you've done in my life and you're going to need to do in my life another step and another step. Lord, do the same for them and let them see the peace that passeth all understanding, the rest that you've offered us, the joy, the easy yoke, the light burden of the Christian life is depending upon you and letting your fruit come in and through us. Father, I need your life to work in my life because all I have is your life. Lord Jesus, we do praise you. We do love you in Christ's name. Amen.